Many people are staying home this summer, and not only in America. The staycation phenomenon is also hitting Europe, the world's biggest exporter of tourists. And that's been a disaster for one of the world's most popular tourist destinations, Spain. Jerome Sokolowski reports from the Spanish resort of Benidorm on the Mediterranean Sea.
A few decades ago, Benidorm was a sleepy fishing village with golden beaches sheltered by jagged mountains. Now, in Europe, Benidorm is a byword for cheap package holidays. Walk along Gerona Street, and you may not hear a word in Spanish.
Hello. Oh, well, excuse me. Sorry.
But you may bump into one of the inebriated British holidaymakers carousing on the boardwalk. But this summer, they're not as ubiquitous as they normally are. Benidorm and the surrounding region have witnessed a 22% drop in foreign tourist arrivals during the first part of this year, the worst of any region in Spain. In the center of town, the slump is also evident at the state unemployment office. The line spills out onto the street, where it's 90 degrees in the shade. Mothers with babies have been waiting for hours. Paqui Sanchez is a grandmother who worked for 45 years as a hotel receptionist. It's incredible, she says. I've never seen anything like this. Next to her is a family spanning three generations, two of which are of working age. Young mother Yolanda Saavedro and her parents say they're all unemployed. Saavedro says she's also run out of her welfare entitlement. I've been out of work for 2 years, she says. I can't take it anymore. I have three children and the youngest is 6 months old. Saavedro says kids are starting to steal from supermarkets because their families can't feed them. What am I supposed to live off, she asks? You tell me. Tourism is one of Spain's biggest industries. In some coastal areas, virtually the entire economy depends on it. On the Canary Islands, a chamber of commerce predicts that the unemployment rate will reach 30% by the end of this year. The importance of tourism for Spain is further underscored by the fact that the World Tourism Organization is the only United Nations agency based here. At its headquarters in Madrid, its Jordanian Secretary General, Taleb Rifai, says the industry is dependent on northern European economies that are in crisis.
So it is natural that Spain would be most affected with a drop in demand, especially from the European markets. Europe still is the major generating market of the world. More than 55% of the tourists of the world come out of Europe.
He says the downturn is affecting the global tourist industry and calls on governments to provide stimulus packages like other industries are getting. Spain's Minister of Industry and Tourism recently visited Benidorm and pledged $1.3 billion for the national industry. For NPR News, I'm Jerome Sokolowski in Benidorm, Spain.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The poor economy has silenced dozens of July 4th fireworks. In some cases, city governments say they can't justify the expense, considering tight budgets. In other cases, sponsors have withdrawn support because their balance sheets are bleeding red ink. NPR's Jeff Brady checked in with a few cities that have canceled their celebrations, and he begins in Colorado Springs.
I'm standing in Memorial Park near downtown Colorado Springs. Huge open space here. Off in the distance, I can see Pikes Peak. And on the evening of the 4th of July, this is typically a very busy place. Thousands of people, the local symphony is playing, and you hear lots of this. But this year, if you show up hoping for a few fireworks and a big celebration, you're going to be disappointed, because about all you'll hear are... Yep, nothing but crickets, because Colorado Springs City Council says it can't afford the $75,000 price tag for the celebration. Sales tax revenues were down 20% last year. Vice Mayor Larry Small says the city cut 200 employees and shaved $51 million from its budget.
Our public works department is almost gone. The only thing we're doing in-house now is pothole filling and snow removal.
Small says ending the city's 4th of July party was one of the toughest decisions the council has had to make.
It's a very meaningful celebration, and when you have to go so far as to eliminate that, you know you're in desperate times.
At the entrance to Memorial Park, there's a sign saying the event is canceled this year. Most people here seem to understand the decision, but a few question the city's priorities.
I think it's a bad decision, and I think it's going to come back and kind of bite them in the butt.
April Kubik notes that personal fireworks are illegal in the city, and without a public display, she predicts more illegal ones this year. The city has said it will enforce its ordinance against fireworks and another against drinking in the park, just in case anyone was planning an impromptu party. Search the internet and you'll find reports of canceled celebrations across the country. Among them is Ipswich, Massachusetts, which bills itself as the birthplace of American independence.
We were among the first that were objecting to the taxes that the British were charging us.
That's Pat McNally. He chairs the Ipswich Board of Selectmen. That's their city council. For more than 30 years, a local conservation group launched fireworks over Ipswich Bay, but it can't afford to do that anymore. There are a few places around the country where fireworks were threatened but then saved at the last minute. La Jolla, California is one of the wealthiest communities in the country. For almost a quarter century, folks there relied on the generosity of a local restaurant owner for their fireworks. But this year, the economy has hurt him, too, and he can't afford to be so generous. That prompted Adam Harris to employ his guerrilla marketing skills to raise $27,000 in fewer than 4 days.
We used Twitter, we used Facebook, we used email campaign, we made phone calls to the media.
Now Harris and his helpers are creating a nonprofit group to raise money for next year's celebration. The future of Colorado Springs' July 4th celebration doesn't look quite as bright. The city is going to have to make even deeper budget cuts next year. Meantime, the local Army base and the Air Force Academy have invited residents to view their fireworks displays. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
Now, finding a job can be especially tough for people with developmental disabilities. Advocates say more than two-thirds are unemployed. Reporter Rachel Dornhelm has this story from San Francisco.
Michael Medina is nostalgic for the days he had a job. Just ask him about where he used to work.
Stacy's Bookstore. That's number one. That's a wonderful, the biggest bookstore I've ever been to. It's a wonderful store. You can work as you want. Long as you want, it's wonderful.
52-year-old Medina was working as a janitor. The routine was very important to him. In fact, when Stacy's cut back on all of its employees' hours 3 years ago, Medina continued to work his longer shift, despite repeated reminders not to.
In my room, I keep a picture from Michael. Look at his smile. He's heavy.
That's Medina's mother, Gerda, holding a picture of him at his old job. Gerda is now in her 70s. When asked if she worries about her son's future when she's gone, she says...
Oh, all the time, all the time. That's when I would say job is important.
She says they both cried when he lost his last job. She knows it's a tough market, but she's thankful that he has help finding a new one. Medina is a client of the ARC, a national nonprofit that offers support services to people with developmental disabilities like him. Today, his job coach from the ARC, Nina Ace, is taking him to the law firm Hanson Bridget for a job assessment. The first challenge is the elevator.
22nd floor.
It is confusing, but these floors are...
Medina is filling in for a coffee attendant. The work includes clearing conference rooms and doing dishes. Ace says this will help her figure out the ideal work environment for Medina. Today, he's getting high marks for handling the fluctuating stress level.
What happens if there's dishes in those sinks right there?
In my cart.
You put it in your cart, correct?
Yeah.
One person may say they like an office setting, but then when you bring them to an office setting, it doesn't quite work out. So it's really nice that we have this site to assess our clients to see if they can fit in this setting.
A few days later, Ace goes with Medina to an interview for a janitor's job at a senior housing center. She gives him a last-minute pep talk.
And also, if you still can't get it, you can always look to me, and then I can help with that as well.
That way I could ask for your advice. And
exactly like you did.
But the kind of help ASAE offers is at risk. Almost every state is talking about slashing funding to programs like these. Peter Burns is executive director of the ARC of the United States.
So someone may find that they used to have a job coach to help them, and now the funding for that job coach isn't there anymore.
Burns says the ARC supports tens of thousands of people with developmental disabilities in finding general employment. That makes them the largest nonprofit network doing this work. Burns says despite demand, the number of people in supported employment, about 120,000, hasn't increased in years. And now there's a danger of backsliding. The ARC of San Francisco alone says it could lose $3 million state dollars this year, a third of its funding. These economic challenges just come on top of the biggest obstacle to placing people in jobs, says John Kemp of the United States Business Leadership Network, negative stereotypes.
Their first response of the unenlightened employer is, no way. We have too many complex issues here, too many business processes that they will never be able to understand and be able to execute.
But Kemp says there are bright spots. Large national companies, including Walgreens, McDonald's, and the supermarket chain Safeway, continue to create opportunities for people with developmental disabilities. And there's a bright spot for Michael Medina, too. He was just offered a job as a bagger at the grocery chain Trader Joe's. He's already hard at work. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Dornhelm in San Francisco.
Now, to learn more about resources for helping developmentally disabled people find work, you can go to our website, npr.org.
So the White House says the stimulus package has helped to slow job loss. It is supposed to create or save 600,000 jobs by the end of the summer. What do today's unemployment numbers tell us about whether the stimulus is on track? Well, joining us to give his appraisal is Mark Zandi, the chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com. And Mark Zandi, do today's unemployment figures suggest that the stimulus is creating or saving jobs at the intended rate?
I think it is. We've lost 6.5 million jobs since we started losing jobs back in December of 2007. I think without the stimulus, we'd have probably lost closer to 7 million jobs. So still bad, not good, but better than would have been the case without the stimulus.
You've called this summer the moment of truth for the stimulus. Is the summer when it should be doing its most effective work, and how long does the summer last?
Yes, this is the moment of truth. The main benefit from the stimulus package should hit its apex in the current quarter, Q3, and into Q4 towards the end of the year. And we should start to see that in the form of better retailing, people spending a bit more money in shopping malls and elsewhere. And then hopefully that'll convince businesses to scale back their job cutting. Not that they'll stop this anytime this year, but hopefully the job losses will abate. And I do think by this time next year, the economy will be on much sounder ground.
And you're saying that the rise of the unemployment rate, now to 9.5%, is at least not inconsistent with the proposition that the fiscal stimulus is working and it's effective.
No, not at all. I mean, you have to realize what we've been through. I mean, think back to all the major shocks we've suffered and felt beginning over a year and a half ago and through the end of last year. And no matter what policymakers did, no matter what the Federal Reserve would have done, what the administration would have done, we would have lost lots of jobs and unemployment would have risen quite considerably. So there's nothing that policymakers could have done to stop the kinds of job losses that we're seeing.
When you look inside the numbers of the monthly unemployment reports, what can you tell us about where jobs are being created by the stimulus and where jobs are being lost faster than was predicted?
Well, I think most of the benefits so far have been in state government. A big part of the stimulus package was checks to state governments to try to forestall some very significant cutting that would have occurred there. Now, it's happening anyway because their fiscal problems are very severe, but the stimulus has helped curtail some of those cuts. So, you know, people working at community colleges and at high schools, they may have lost their jobs without those without that money. Also, I think retailers, they're laying off workers, but they would have laid off a lot more if not for the stimulus, because as part of the stimulus, unemployed workers got increased benefits, COBRA payments for health care, food stamps. So I think the jobs in retailing, wholesaling, transportation, would have been the losses there would have been measurably worse without the stimulus.
Bottom line, you say the economy looks like it could be recovered sometime this time next year, but should there be another stimulus? Is there a need for a bigger stimulus to get there and to guarantee the recovery?
Well, I think it's premature to conclude that we need another stimulus. As I said, I think the main impact from the current stimulus package will be felt this summer, fall, later this year. So we should wait and see how well it goes. But I don't think it's unreasonable to think, given the magnitude of the problems that we face, that when we get into early next year that the economy may need some more help. And there are some clear areas where the economy would need help. State governments need more help. I think it's clear that we have got some tax increases legislated for early 2011 that we may not want to happen in 2011. So, yeah, another stimulus package may be something we need.
Thank you. Mark Zandi, chief economist for the research firm Moody's Economy.com.